is offer a conceptual amendment that television, that new radio or television signal transmission towers are a conditional use in all zones. And we could propose, as I said, specific language just for EFU zones and plug it into 237, but we would rather address all zones and ask that legislative council work that in either to this bill or 2295, whichever place it fits best, but...
Chairman?
Yes, Senator Day?
I really would support that because I think the testimony that we heard where you can go out and put a 900-foot tower up and the public couldn't even be heard on its construction is just not fair. It's just not fair, and I don't care whether it's in the city or it's out in the middle of the countryside. There should have been. The biggest complaint they had was that they didn't have their day in court, not the fact that it might not have gone forth. So I would support Senator Starkovich is suggesting that we make it a condition use wherever it is based on the definition, and we have a definition that doesn't cover all the little things. This covers your radio towers. I think it's a sound idea because I think those people had every right to be irritated over that.
Yes, Senator Cole.
I have one concern about that, and that's I really don't want to hold up 237 because that's a bill that, I mean, this is a bill that that the House Committee's waiting for, and they're going to have some extensive hearings on the marginal land question. So I am supportive of what we're trying to do in terms of, and I would support putting it into all, you know, it ought to be a conditional use in whatever zone it is. I agree with you. I don't know how we can get it in here without holding up this bill if it's only in concept, and that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I would say that since this bill really only deals with the EFU zones as far as the tower's concerned, that it would be better to have it in another bill because we are talking about all zones.
Well, I support it, and I just if you want to, I'll support it where you think it works best, okay?
Either 234 or 2295. I think
in all due fairness, we asked the staff, they drew it up for EFU, but that's really intended it for all uses.
That's right.
Okay. We drew it up for all uses, Senator, and that's why I had a thought that it was going to go in 2295.
Okay. Well, it's no problem. I don't really care. I think it's probably better to do
follow Senator Starkovich's vote on that.
Well, your day will come when we get to 2295, I guess. Okay.
Now, does the committee have any other suggestions at this point?
Mr. Chairman, could I offer a thought? I'd like to move the amendments to Senate Bill 237. I think probably what has to be done that we move 237A-6
as amended
by the amendments from the LCDC in the June memorandum, the bill be engrossed and returned to us post haste. And
that is satisfactory with me. And
it is with you, okay?
I think we should get. I talked to the president, and we can get the bill back quite promptly, and still have it on the floor next week. So we'll I'll accept Senator Day's motion to send amended Senate Bill 237A-6 through council and to be engrossed and returned to the committee.
And I would very much appreciate that you know that we intend to act on it on Monday and that the copies be available, okay? And I think they can do that if we ask it, okay?
We'll direct them to act post haste.
Post haste.
Post haste. Okay. Call the roll, please.
Senator Cohen?
Aye.
Senator Day?
Aye.
Senator Hamby?
Aye.
Senator Hurd? Senator Starkovich?
Aye.
Senator Kipp-Powell?
Aye. So ordered. Okay, thank you. Okay. Now we will move to House Bill 2235, and I will first ask DEQ to come up and address some of the questions that were raised at the last hearing.
You want to go and give me a thermos?
Yeah. I'd love to vote. Is this the wood bill?
Yeah.
I'd love to vote on it if I can get one bill out of teeny.
Okay.
Okay.
Teeny. Is this wood burners?
This is the wood burners.
Business.
Yeah. Jeff?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Bill Young, Director of the Department of Environmental Quality. I believe dated May 23rd, we've submitted to your staff, and I assume it's been distributed to the committee, a several-page response to the questions that were raised during the initial hearing, and unless there are further questions about that information that we have submitted, we felt that responded reasonably well to the questions we identified.
Okay. Yeah. It's in your, the information that you referred to is in your packets.
I kept them passing them out because, yes,
what? The information Mr. Young is,
I've got it.
Referred to is in the fact. I have no further questions for Mr. Young, but if some other committee members do.
No, I'm sorry.
I think that did cover the.
Fine.
Okay, thank you.
I appreciate your response. So promptly.
John Powell. We are not having a general public hearing on this. There were two groups that did not have an opportunity to speak at the last hearing, and we were going to allow them an opportunity at this point. We spent 4 hours on the public hearings at the last meeting. This was John Powell and people associated with him and the Oregon Environmental Council.
Mike.
Here for a second. There he comes. Do you have something all passed out to go along with your testimony?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Okay. There was another handout that I had given to the committee at the last hearing, and I should have checked earlier because it's not there, but I can get that to committee members separately. For the record, I'm John Powell, representing the Wood Energy Association. Today I want to go over some of the aspects of House Bill 2235 that we find objectionable. First of all, many hours have been spent on this issue, this session, and we're convinced that the public policy question involved is really not should we do something, but how should we do something? Because we believe that any source of particulate is a problem, and wood stoves do in fact contribute particulate into the air. I am handing you a copy for perspective reasons, to put this issue in some perspective, of the listing of the days of violation of total suspended particulate standards in the areas of Medford, Portland, and Eugene, so that it would give you a listing of 1982, primarily days in which these standards were violated in each of these communities, so that you can see that we are talking about a number of days of some limited scope. That does not justify not doing anything. I'm not trying to make that point. I'm simply trying to put this issue in perspective. Beyond the fact that this is a limited number of days, you have to realize that emissions from wood stoves is only part of the emission that led to these violations. So I think it's important for us to understand that wood stoves are a part of a problem, not the majority of that problem by any stretch of the imagination, but a part of the problem. So the course we take to solve this problem should be one, I think, of reason. And we think the bill as it comes to you goes beyond those bounds. Approximately 52% of the households in Oregon use wood. 15% is a primary source, and 37% as a secondary source. That's probably a quarter of a million households, so in Oregon. I want to make also a point to put this in perspective. You've been handed a chart from the Department of Environmental Quality showing the extent of emissions from wood stove, or emissions from wood stoves on December 31, 1982. I simply know I don't have to tell the committee that that is New Year's Eve, a date when I think families do have fires going in fireplaces and perhaps in their wood stoves as well. But that is a day of celebration. There was a dip in that chart at 1 o'clock, and then it picked back up at 2 or 3 in the morning. And it was my thinking when committee members questioned that, that perhaps the general populace passed out about midnight, came to at 1 o'clock and refueled their fire. But again,
is that from an experience that you've had?
Mr. Chairman, it in fact is. My birthday is also on New Year's Eve, and it's quite a day for me.
You passed out.
But I think the point that is so important to make is, again, this one of perspective. Something should be done, and we admit that. And the question is how to go about this one source of solving the problems from this one source of emissions. Now, what does House Bill 2235 do as it's before you? It requires before July 1 of 1984 for the EQC to establish by rule emission standards, testing methods for meeting those standards, certification program, an efficiency standard, and a label for emissions and efficiency, and a fee for the certification. So that's supposed to take place before July 1 of this next year. The point there is that a standard has not been established yet, and it should be by that date, with the help, hopefully, of an advisory committee made up of people from the wood stove industry. Then after that July 1, 84 date, manufacturers and dealers can send stoves forward for evaluation and certification. Then after July 1 of 1986, a person may not advertise to sell, offer to sell, or sell a new wood stove in Oregon unless it has been tested for emissions and efficiency and a label is attached. Now that applies statewide. So that would be Ontario as well as Salem or Portland or Medford. But then also on that same date, a person may not advertise to sell or offer to sell a new wood stove in the restricted area or the corridor between the Cascade and Coast Range from the state of Washington to the state of California. The bill goes further, however, and it says that 6 months after the date that any portion of an AQMA area is designated non-attainment, 6 months after that date, regardless of where it is in the state of Oregon, these selling restrictions apply to that area. So Pendleton, there's been some talk about its bordering on that status. 6 months after the date that area was designated, this restriction that now would apply only to this corridor would apply to Pendleton as well, or Bend, or Klamath Falls, or any other place in the state where that might happen. The bill goes further. In Section 11 of the bill, it allows any local government to adopt this restriction within its jurisdiction if, in fact, they are trying to avoid meeting non-attainment standards. So again, Bend, Redmond, or any city or local government can adopt this or as an ordinance. And then the bill goes further. The bill requires the Environmental Quality Commission to use a portion of the net emission reductions that are achieved in any airshed from the wood stove certification program to give a portion of that, and this is a requirement, not a may. It says they are required to give a portion of the emissions saved from wood stoves to other polluters. So that's basically what the bill before you sets as a public policy for the people of the state of Oregon. Our objections to the policy as it is currently written can be summed up in three or four main areas. First of all, we have an industry that is basically on its knees. The wood stove industry financially is not in good shape. It's no secret. The fact that many are out of business, both retail manufacturer level, and some are in a bankrupt status today. This imposes upon them a deadline to be met in the not too distant future. Based on standards and methods for meeting those standards that have not yet been set. I think it's also important for you to realize that testing for emissions from devices like wood stoves is in its relative infancy, although there have been experiments in other parts of the world. New Zealand's been mentioned, and England have been mentioned. One city in Colorado, Aspen. But I have talked personally on the phone to testing experts such as Jay Shelton, who confirmed to me that testing is in its infancy as far as a precise method that the people in that profession can agree upon that should be used. This bill has been compared to other industry, the pulp and paper industry, the lumber industry, wigwam burners. I think it's important, and I would suggest to you that it is different in several reasons. First of all, the scope and the size of this is different. We're dealing with a lot of little, fairly small manufacturers, as opposed to a few giants. The second thing is the product, the source of emission, does not take place within the control of the manufacturer. It's a product that a consumer takes to their home, has installed by somebody that may or may not know what they're doing, and the consumer chooses whether to put wet wood in it, dry wood in it, and so that we are dealing with a different kind of commodity than a commodity controlled by the manufacturer or by the entity that we are regulating. Another point, I think, into this area is that the positive effects of this on the airshed, or the results, are academic at this stage. Again, that doesn't mean we should not move forward in this area, but I think it is academic. The literature that the DEQ has offered suggests that the effect of this bill will take 15 to 20 years, because, again, it doesn't affect existing wood stoves that are causing part of the current problem, but new stove purchases in the future. So it is a long-range program to get to this end. It is based, the technology in wood stove emission reduction primarily right now is based on the catalytic combustor. There are other devices, dual combustion chambers and that sort of thing, but primarily, and I think Mr. Vick here from Fisher Stoves would confirm the fact that the technology right now in the industry is the catalytic combustor. I've given you a handout. Part of what was just handed to you deals with a chart in bold print like this, which would show the basic life of a combustor, what's expected. This is a chart produced by the people who manufacture catalytic combustors. As you can see from this chart, that based on a four-month heating season, if you use a stove 30 days per month or full-time, the combustor has an expected life of about 2 years. If you use it 15 days, of about 4 years. The question then is, when we talk about what will the results of this bill be, with the combustor technology, it's going to be based on whether or not the people who buy the stoves actually replace the combustor when it has lived its useful life. So the combustor technology will work in this 15 or 20 year period if, in fact, the homeowner who purchases and the consumer who purchases these stoves replaces that combustor. I don't know about you, but in at least my experience, the reason people buy wood stoves is to save money. And I think if you believe that a vast majority of the owners of these stoves are going to reach in there, take that combustor out, go down to a store and pay $70 to $100 to replace it. Then I have a bridge in Halsey I would like to show you. I just don't think the consumer is going to be that willing to pay virtually what it costs for a cord of wood to replace that combustor. Now that is conjecture. I have no evidence to that, but it's simply something that I think makes common sense. A second point in our objection, the first point being, we would like to see the standard developed and a testing method developed before a deadline is set. Another area of concern is that we do know some of the results of this bill, even though the airshed results may be unknown, and that is the economic effects. I have handed you a sheet from the DEQ publication in that packet that you've been given that deals with several things. One is the economic impact. It's this sheet here, page 8. If you look down at the bottom of the page under economic impact, it says that a catalytic equipped stove will probably require a $50 to $70 replacement catalyst about every 2 years. And then it makes a case about the savings from a more efficient stove will in turn pay for the increased price of that stove, again, which it is estimated by their publications to be about $300 on the average increase in the price of a wood stove. The figures I've looked at show about a 40% increase in the cost to the consumer. When I pencil that out, using all kinds of costs per cord for the wood, it's hard for me to reason when you have to replace that combustor every 2 years for somebody using a stove heavily, how you would ever, in the life of that stove, a 15 or 20 year life, pay for that, even at a 26% efficiency rating. It uses 26% less wood. I figured that out in several different ways, and I cannot reach a formula that would convince me or as a consumer that I was going to pay for this immediately. Another problem that I'm sure you've already heard about from the last hearing was bootlegging, and I want to make this point about bootlegging. It is not illegal in this bill, and there's been some editorials written, and many people in the last hearing were saying, well, we could stop this illegal bootlegging if. Bootlegging under this bill is not illegal. That is, in this corridor, it would not be illegal for a citizen living in Medford to drive to Klamath Falls to buy a wood stove, bring that stove back, install it in their home. That is not illegal under this bill. It is not illegal for a person in Portland to go to Vancouver and buy a stove and install it at a lesser price, or go to Astoria, or for a resident of Salem to drive to Lincoln City or Newport and buy that wood stove. So it is not an illegal offense to bootleg stoves. It would be illegal if somebody was advertising those stoves in the restricted area. Again, people buy stoves to save money. That's why you do it. Other than that, there are problems affiliated with it. Cutting wood, splitting wood, keeping it going. Few people do it for culture, but the majority of people buy a stove do it to save money. The effects of bootlegging, I think, are going to be apparent. People will seek to save that $300 by bringing in the stove. I think the bill has that shortcoming. And I'll talk a little bit more about bootlegging later. A retailer under this bill has some very severe problems. Picture yourself as a wood stove retailer in Salem, Oregon, or Eugene, Medford, Roseburg, or Portland. In the restricted area, you will be limited as to what models you can have as an inventory to sell to consumers. So what's going to happen in the years 1985 and 86 as we approach the deadline from the retailer's point of view? You're carrying a line of Fisher stoves or Earth stoves or Schrader stoves. Question is going to be, is the manufacturer of my line going to meet the standard? Are they going to try to build a stove that will in fact meet the standard of this guideline, or should I start looking for other suppliers of this line? What am I going to do with my inventory as this date approaches? Should I start phasing out now, or should I carry a full line of inventory up to as close to that date and try to sell them outside this area to another retailer? I think the retailers are faced with monumental problems, principally due to the restricted corridor. Creates a great deal of uncertainty to them. Another factor is jobs. I think most people that have been involved in this issue will agree that the passage of this bill in this form will cost jobs. I don't think there's a lot of controversy over that. The fact is, some people are going to go out of business based on this bill, and that's something that the literature of the TMZQ uses the word may lose their jobs, but it does talk about job loss. 2,000 to 4,000 people work in this area. Some of them are going to lose their jobs as a result of the passage of this bill. We think a bill can be passed to prevent the loss of those jobs and have our industry working with environmental regulators to move in this direction perhaps as quickly as this bill would without the adverse effects. Some of our other concerns with the bill is the advertising ban. It is the language, if you look at Aaron Gross House Bill 2235, on page 3 of the bill, under Section 8 says that a person may not advertise to sell, offer to sell, or sell a new wood stove in Oregon unless it has been tested and labeled. Then Section 9 carries the same language, that on or after July 1 of 86, a person may not advertise to sell, offer to sell, or sell a new wood stove in the following areas unless the wood stove is certified by the department under the program established in Section 5. So only those stoves that meet the standard could be advertised for sale. That would mean that somebody using a marketing area, which would include part of this zone, would be banned from advertising with that source as I read it. The other problem with advertising comes in periodicals that some of us who buy from Sears and other companies get called catalogs. And if you look in the catalog, this one happens to be a 1982 fall and winter, on page 1,173, you find wood stoves advertised in many shapes, sizes, for your purchasing. And there are, to give you some extent of the number and the kinds and the sizes, they go all the way from box stoves to furnaces to fireplace inserts and that sort of thing. I doubt that the bill, that a state has the legal authority to prevent Sears from sending a catalog from Chicago or wherever their headquarters is. And in fact, I would imagine if you ordered through this Sears catalog, the transaction may well be legally taking place in another state so that you would be exempt from the restrictions. However, it is clear that your local retailer in your hometown will be banned from offering these for sale, but the giants, such as Sears and Roebuck, can send as many catalogs to your home or pamphlets just advertising wood stoves as they may please. There's been some talk before the committee that the governor supports House Bill 2235. I have not confirmed that with the governor. However, I want to read bits of a proclamation from Governor Vicatia, dated August 25th of 1982, and I quote, "Wood as an alternative energy resource can make a significant contribution toward meeting Oregon's energy needs. Wood residues in Oregon's forests could potentially supply approximately 200 trillion BTUs of energy on an annual basis, or an estimated 30 million barrels of oil. Homeowners have reduced their efforts to seek alternatives to limited fossil fuels. America is going back to sleep, just as we did after the 1973-74 oil crisis ended. That time, as you will recall, we were rudely awakened by the sudden disruption of supply in 1979. Therefore, as governor, I hereby proclaim the month of September 1982 as Wood Energy Month in Oregon. We cannot allow ourselves to be fooled yet a third time. Congress has a responsibility to encourage Americans to continue their movement toward inexpensive, available, and renewable fuels for home heating, end quote. I think the policy of the state of Oregon has been and is to promote the use of alternative fuels, because in fact, one of the key things that having 52% of Oregon's homes having a wood heat in them is the peak energy load problem. And that is, wood stoves are used during the very cold months of the year. It does, in fact, replace the need for other energy supply mechanisms, such as nuclear power, coal, and other sources. So wood heat, in effect, is important. It's important that the policies passed by this legislature clearly point out that it is not an inducement to stop that direction. We feel House Bill 2235 in its current form is that kind of a message and carries that kind of price. It has been suggested that there is a public opinion poll that highly supports the bill. I've handed that to you as well. I believe it was commissioned by the Oregon Lung Association. This is like a lot of other public opinion polls I've seen.